All right, let's stand for a word of prayer. God, we thank you, we glorify you, we magnify you. Thank you for this hour, thank you for this time, thank you for this moment. God, thank you. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and we enter into your courts with praise. God, we thank you for being the God of our salvation and the author and the finish of our faith. Thank you, God, for being the God of a second chance. Thank you that we can come into this house of worship to gather with fellow believers and to sit under your divine instruction, Lord. Thank you for navigating our lives on today, oh God, for covering us with your blood. And wherever our life was, you had us in mind. And for that, we want to say thank you, Lord. God, we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is our most reasonable service, that we may not be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of yours. God, we thank you for this time of worship, oh God. We ask that you, oh God, inhabit this place, inhabit these earthen vessels. Cover us with your blood, oh God. Let your blood prevail, oh God, against every covert activity of the enemy that would thwart your purpose in this house right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, forgive us for all our many sins, oh God. If there be anything in our hearts and our minds, oh God, that's not bringing glory to your name or contrary to your will, let your blood cleanse us of all unrighteousness, oh God. Oh God, we ask that you anoint your word on tonight, oh God. Anoint me, your manservant, to bring forth your word. Oh God, stir up the gift that is within me, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, oh God, don't let us leave as we have come, oh God, but we want to be impacted in worship. Oh God, we want to be impacted by your word, oh God, and we want to be impacted by fellowship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. On Sunday, this is our first gathering in the new year, but on Sunday, we begin to preach on the power of water baptism. And we looked at, in 2 Corinthians, the scriptures declares that those of us that are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we are new creatures. And what? Old things are passed away. And the Bible said, behold, all things are new. So we begin to ask a question or answer a question. If the scripture declares that if we be in Christ, we are new creatures, then the question is, how do we appropriate that in our lives? How do we come into Christ? Because he says this, he said, those that are in Christ, we are new creatures, and behold, all things are new and old things are passed away. So how do we come into Christ? We hear that scripture, but how do we apply it? And we apply that scripture through water baptism. And so we looked in Romans chapter number 6, where the Bible begins to, Paul begins to talk to the church in Rome concerning putting away or putting to death your old life and your old habits and your old beliefs and values. And he said, the way that you put to death, just as Christ died, the way you do that is through what? Water baptism. And so we're going to continue. We're going to continue on tonight with baptism. And then on Sunday, you know, those individuals that's wishing to be baptized after you get this revelation, because, you know, baptism is just nothing, that's something we just do. It is a spiritual principle tied to baptism. And some people say, well, how do you join a church? What signifies that you are part of a body of believers, a local church? Do you get baptized? Do you just shake the preacher's hand? No. So water baptism there's a spiritual significance that in the scripture declares in Romans chapter 6, that like as Christ was buried, and died, so we appropriate, the death or the dying of the Lord Jesus, and we appropriate our death, physical death, our spiritual death, by going into the water to be baptized. So let's look at tonight. I want to look at something in Colossians, because everything we do in the church, or according to scripture, we ought to do it by faith. Everything that we do is done by faith. Turn to Colossians chapter number 2. The book of Colossians chapter number 2. And so why is it important that we understand water baptism? It is important to understand water baptism because if I have been baptized, that served as a spiritual significance in my life. I just didn't do it because it was the popular thing to do. I didn't do it because, you know, somebody said, you know, you must be baptized, or we want to please our mother, or we want to please somebody. Now, water baptism for the believer, for the born again believer, serves as a significance, or serves as a sign that, like as Christ was buried, so in water baptism, we are buried with Christ, and out of the water, we shall rise to a newness of life. And so in Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians chapter number 2, as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he begins to talk about some concerns that was going on in that church. And in chapter number 2, verse number 5, he said, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Y'all see that? So that verse number 6, we cannot just overlook verses when they talk about in the Lord. And many times, as believers or in scripture, as a student of God's word, when you see phrases like in the Lord, or walk in him, or be as Christ, that's something that the believer needs to understand, that we have a connection with the Lord. A born again believer, one that is filled with God's spirit, has Christ's spirit in him. There is a connection. So he says this in verse number 7, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Watch this in verse number 8. I'm getting somewhere. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men." So here Paul is setting a warning to the church at Colossae. He said, beware. And when you beware of something, that means that you have to take a look and watch out for it. If somebody said, beware of the wet water on the floor, that means that if you're not aware of it, it is going to cause you danger. So in verse number 8, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you," what? "Through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men." Water baptism is not established in the church as a tradition. Water baptism is established in the church as a spiritual significance. Somebody says spiritual significance. No, it's not just a tradition, and we shouldn't make any sacrament or any responsibility or any act in the church a tradition. But how many know that sometimes we can do things over and over again and over again, and we don't understand the spiritual significance, that it becomes a tradition? No, water baptism is not a tradition. Water baptism should be something that we set in high regards in the body of Christ. So he said, beware lest somebody spoil you through traditions. He said, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He said, if anything be done, if anything be said, if anything happens in the church or in the body of Christ or in front of you, he said, don't make it a tradition. How many know that people have made spiritual rituals in the church traditions? None of the spiritual rituals in the church ought to become tradition. We ought to understand that there is a spiritual, there is a significance that God holds in high regard. Yeah, so he says this in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. He said, after the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. How many know that sometimes if we're not careful, that many of the acts in the church, many of the things that occur in the church, if we don't know its spiritual significance, then we would be just like the world, that we would just do something just because it's something good to do. Nah, when it comes down to spirit, when it comes down to church, we just don't come to church just to be coming because it's something good to do. We come to church because we know that God expects us and there's something that we should get out of coming to church. Amen. Nah, coming to church is nothing that you just fall into. So he said, beware. He said, don't do like the traditions of men. Don't act like the world, but everything you do that we ought to hold in high regard. Somebody say high regard. Yeah. Watch this in verse number 9. For in him, here it is, here it is. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, and when it comes down to Christ, when it comes down to understanding Christ, when it comes down to viewing Christ, we ought to understand that everything about Christ and what he did, it all involved all aspects of God. So that's what he said in verse number 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. So when it comes, when we see Jesus, we see everything about God. When we talk about Jesus, when we apply Jesus Christ to our lives, we are applying, this is good, every aspect about God. So we know that God is a healer. So when we talk about Jesus, we apply healing to our lives. When we know God is a provider, when we appropriate Christ in our lives, then we know that we are provided for. So he says that in him, in who? Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. So now how do we apply that to water baptism? When we are baptized in Jesus Christ, then every aspect of about God can be appropriated to our lives. See, water baptism ain't something that we just do. It holds a high spiritual significance. So watch this. Verse number 10. Now this is good. It's finna get good. Somebody say it's finna get good. Yeah. He said, and ye are complete in him. Watch this. Ye are complete in him. What does complete mean? Complete means that you are full. You have no need of anything. He said, ye are complete in him. Who is that in him? In Christ. So if I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior and I live for Christ, everything, I'm complete. Nobody can answer things like Christ can. So he says, and ye are complete in him. Watch this, which is the head of all principality and power. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. So when it comes down to Christ, we say water baptism is applying Christ to my life. That just like Christ died, he died. I die now to everything. I die a spiritual death, the wrong habits, the wrong talk, the wrong attitudes. When you are baptized, that means that you are symbolizing that like Christ died, I'm going in that water. And as Christ rose up the third day, I rise to a whole newness of life. Who want to have a chance to start over again? So water baptism is significant. He says this, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. As believers, we need to understand, especially those of us that are baptized, we need to understand that baptism appropriates all this in my life. So then the question is, if baptism appropriates all this in my life, why do we go back to the rudiments of the world, as he said in verse number 8? Why do we go back to the habits and the traditions of the world just like the world? Nah, we rise to a what? A newness of life. Somebody said newness of life. Yeah. He says this in verse number 11, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11. You need help finding it? All right, you good? All right. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised. This is it. This is it. This is why baptism and applying our life is to Christ is so important. Because when we are baptized, then we apply all this in our lives. He said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision, not with hands, and in putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, but of the circumcision of Christ. Y'all see in verse number 11 where it said putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Y'all remember in Romans chapter number 6 where the Bible says that if we continue in sin, that grace may abound. God forbid. So water baptism represents the washing away of sins. It don't represent, you know, joining the church. It means the washing away of sin. And now after I am baptized, I say to God that now I'm going to live a total new life with you. Prior to going down in the water to be baptized, you live in a whole different life separate from Christ. So you say, I go into water baptism so that when I rise out of this water, I now say I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to behave differently. I'm going to talk differently. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to do the same thing that Christ did when he rose from the dead. Y'all got that? Watch this. He says, watch this. Verse number 12. Now, this is where I'm getting to, because Paul said all that to say this in verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism. Y'all see that? Buried within him in baptism. So how do I appropriate the crucifixion, the bearer of the life of Christ Jesus, and the resurrection of the Lord in my life? I do it by baptism. Do I do it by shaking the preacher's hand? No. Do I do it by just coming to church? No. Do I do it by just singing in the choir? No. Or the praise and worship team? No. I apply the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life through water baptism. No other way. Do I apply it by just reading the Bible? No. The first act I must do to apply Jesus Christ in my life is to get baptized. So once I come into that knowledge, and once I understand that I'm separate from him, because some people don't think they don't need Christ. Long as I got this, some people don't think. No. As a believer, we must believe in Christ. That's why we are what? Believers. Watch this. Verse number 12. Buried with him in baptism. Here is how the water works. Wherein also you are risen with him. I told you that as you go down in the water, that represents Jesus dying. You symbolizing the dying. And then as you rise up, that means that I appropriate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in my life. Now, how many times and how often do we hear people talking about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Only on one day, Easter. That's the only time we talk about crucifixion and dying with the Lord. No, as believers, as Christians, we ought to have that. Yes, that cross. We ought to have that in our lives on a daily basis. And this is how you do it. He says this, risen with him through faith. Somebody said through faith. Everything we do when it comes down to the Bible, when it comes down to holiness, when it comes down to scripture, is by faith. Faith is believing in spite of what you see. Just like this. All of us sat down in that pew or in this chair and we didn't think twice. We just knew it was going to hold us up. So it was something about what we experienced before that we knew that pew was going to hold us up. So we just sat down, didn't we? We didn't think about it. We just sat. Did we test it? No. Same thing when it comes down to faith in the Lord Jesus. You just believe in spite of what you see. So baptism is a faith thing. Somebody say baptism. Is a faith thing. Yeah, so somebody say, so what you mean, you know, when you're baptized in the water, you know, it's not no earthly grave like Christ went in. No. It's faith in his word. Faith in the fact that Jesus said it. Somebody say, if Jesus said it, I believe it. Yeah. This is nothing to play with. Spiritual stuff is nothing to play with. Coming to church is no place to play. Just like school is no place to play. Church is no place to play. Baptism, we don't play with baptism. You know, God controls our lives. And so when it comes down to faith, have anybody ever seen God? No, but we just believe it. It's something about my faith that believes that this is true. Yeah, so watch this, y'all. It says, risen with him through faith, watch this, of the operation of God. Here it is. So it's something about when a person is baptized, literally through faith, and they say, you know what? I want to appropriate the resurrection, the dying, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I want to be baptized. I recognize that I need him. I recognize that I'm walking in wrong. I'm walking separate from him, and I'm seeing, and I want to walk in the newness of life. There's something about what you heard, faith in your heart that is true. And then God gets in it. Watch this in verse number 12. Through the faith of the operation of God. You got to believe that God is operating in it. Just like you believe that when you do something, when you get in a car, it's going to go. Just like you believe that when you sit down in that pew or in this chair, it's going to hold you up. The same thing occurs with baptism. Somebody said, how is it done? It is done through faith of the operation of God. So when one is baptized, God gets in that baptism and he apply the dying of the Lord in your flesh, in your sinful ways, in your habits, in your wrongdoings. See, he said, who hath raised him from the dead. Watch in verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins. So water baptism is dying to sin, dying to wrong. Dying, you know, stopping what you do wrong. He says, has he quickened with him? Y'all see all these scriptures that says with him, together in Christ. So the part is what we got to believe is if I'm a Christian and I'm baptized or if I'm not baptized, then in order to walk as Christ did, in order to walk in the newness of this life, in order to be different, behave different, think different, you got to be baptized. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus talking about, you know what? Jesus, you're doing all these miracles. He said, I believe you're doing all these miracles. I believe you can bless me. I believe you can heal me. I can believe you can do all these things. And Jesus said, you're talking the wrong thing. You just want to know me for what you can get out of me. Y'all ever had them friends that they friends went just to get something out of you? Nah. Jesus said, listen, he said, Nicodemus, he said, your problem is you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, I'm an old man. How can I go again into my mother's womb to be born? He said, you're missing it. And many times we miss it with water baptism because we're thinking naturally, just like Nicodemus was. Jesus wanted to say, hey, listen, this is a spiritual thing. You must be born of the water, which is baptism, and you must be born of the Spirit. Then you can enter heaven. You want to enter heaven? You got to be born of the water, which is baptism, and you got to be born of the Spirit, which is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's scripture. Watch this. He said, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Now, we either going to accept that or not when it comes down to baptism. And if I appropriate it and I apply it to my life correctly, then it's something about knowing that God did this, that I now walk right. You want to know how to walk right? You apply what Christ did on the cross to your life. Because guess what? We should have been on that cross. He said this, the wages of sin, the wages of wrong, the wages of doing things is death. You want to see, wherever you see death of things, sin is around. Yeah. He says he quickened. Y'all see that? That word quicken, whenever you see the word quicken in the Bible, that don't mean, you know, we think it like fast. No, that word quicken in the scripture means to make alive. So prior to us receiving the Holy Spirit and being saved, we were dead. What's the opposite of alive? Dead. What's the opposite of dead? Alive. You either dead or you are what?
Alive.
You either alive or you
dead.
There you go. So when it comes down to walking, when he says dead and alive, it's nothing natural. Sometimes it's spiritual death. A lot of stuff, oh my goodness, occurred because of spiritual death. What I'm talking about is spiritually being alive spiritually. You know, people ask, well, how can you worship a God that you can't see? Yeah. Well, how can you breathe air that you can't see? It's by what? Faith. Somebody say, it's by faith.
It's by faith.
Yeah. Regardless of who you are, regardless of you're an adult or you're a child, it's all by faith. Yeah. Yeah. Watch this. Verse number 14. We're applying water baptism to our lives, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way. Look at verse number 14, nailing it to his cross. What he said was, prior to Christ dying on the cross, some things were against you. You know, some people had already written a ticket, a disciplinary action, a warning against you. But Christ said, I'm going to die for everything that's against them. That's what the cross means. When you wear a crucifix, when you wear a cross, you got to understand that represents the Lord Jesus dying for your wrongness. So if you're going to wear it, don't do wrong. Somebody said, don't do wrong now. If you're going to wear it, don't do wrong. If you're going to do wrong, don't wear it. Now, you know, the crucifix that people wear. You know, when I wear a cross, what I'm saying is everything about what was done on this cross, I apply it to my life. It's not just jewelry, just to be worn, to play with. No, he said it blotted out. When you blot out something, you what? Erase it. You know, when you make a mistake on the paper, what you draw a line through it, and that lets people know that's reading it that, listen, that's a mistake. Oh God, what Christ did on the cross, he erased and he blotted out every sin that you would do. That's why we got to apply it to our lives. Watch this, y'all. I'm closing. He said, nailing it to his cross. Y'all see that? Now, three, four verses in Colossians. It's interesting why Paul writes to this church. And this what he writes to this church, because they begin to forget about what they had in Christ. Don't you forget about what you are in Christ. Yeah, Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 4, and we're going to close. Colossians chapter number 3. Verse number 1 through 4. Some people, and what I'm talking about is the power of baptism. Why it is necessary for you to get baptized. Listen. If you haven't been baptized, then you got to be baptized. You can't get anything by doing good. That don't apply Christ in your life. Baptism apply Christ in your life. Watch this. Watch this, y'all. We're talking about baptism, all right? Y'all ready? If ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1. If you be risen with Christ, how are we risen with Christ? Through what? Begins with a B. Baptism. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek. Y'all see the first word? Seek those things which are above. So when you seek something, you search for it. So when I'm baptized and I'm coming out of the water and I'm rose to a newness of life, then my whole purpose is to seek the things of God. And when you seek for stuff, you look for it. You look where God is. You look where, what God is at. Is he in right? You seek to do things right. So it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So water baptism enables me to walk above the things that's around me. Above this natural stuff. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He said, if you've been baptized, you've been risen with Christ, he said, you have the ability to now watch and seek those things. And he says this in the Gospels. He said, knock and it shall be given. Seek and it shall be what? Found. Yeah. Yeah. So he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. When you play hide and go seek, that means there's an action. You got to do something, right? So then, when you are baptized, then after you are baptized, you got to do something. Somebody say, you got to do something.
You got to do something.
And what he wants you to do is seek everything about him. Don't seek your mother. Don't seek your father. Don't seek your friends. Don't seek Facebook. Don't seek your Xbox. Don't seek none of that. He says, seek me. My God, y'all. Watch this, verse number 2. And we closing, y'all. He said, now, after you seek me, he says, set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. There was something interesting that occurred when Jesus rose from the grave. Y'all remember when he rose from the grave and there was Mary Magdalene and Mary, his mother, and they saw him, and the Bible said his whole facade, he had a different glow about him. And they went to reach out to touch him. And Jesus said, he said, touch me not, for I have not ascended. So when you now walk, we don't play with this. When you walk now with Christ, then everything about you now should focus on Christ. That means we have to get rid of friends that don't mean us any good. If you want to do right and you got friends that now bad, now that means that you got to do something different. Yeah, you got to do something different. He says, set your affections on things above. So two words. He says, seek it out. Search for it. And then when you set something, when you set your affections, that means when you set something down, you put it there for it not to be moved. He said, don't let none of your affections be moved concerning things on this earth. Everything now is about heaven. So water baptism is not done so you can join the choir. Water baptism is not done so you can play the drums, you can play the guitar, you can do all this. Water baptism is completed. So now you can have your focus on God in heaven. So he says this. Watch this, verse number 3. Here it is. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now you want to be hidden? You want to be hidden from the things of this world and wrongdoing? Water baptism, for ye are dead. Y'all see how many times the scripture says, when it comes down to applying my life, everything about me is dead. not physically dead, but spiritually dead. He said everything about this world now and the old attitudes and values is not dead. And when something is dead, it's supposed to be buried. Verse number 4, we're going to close. Last verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now, this is it. This is why it's so important. This is why he told Nicodemus, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and you got to receive the Holy Spirit. He says, when Christ come back, he said, now ye shall also appear with him in glory. So water baptism is necessary so that we can be born again, so that we can sit with Christ, so that we can be dead to the things that had our lives, so we can be dead to wrong attitudes, beliefs, and values. If I want the things concerning heaven, you know, all this other stuff they say do, nah, it's through water baptism. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You must be born of the water and you must be born of the Spirit. Being born of the water is baptism. Jesus knew the spiritual significance. He knew because everything about water baptism applied everything about him to that believer. Y'all see that? We're going to continue this on Sunday. And those of us that want this applied in our life, and those of us that want to be baptized, we're going to give you up. What greater time than at the beginning of the new year that you put to death old habits, old beliefs, old attitudes, that you crucify sin in your life. And now at the beginning of the new year, that you declare that everything, almost said it right, the beginning of the year. Somebody say, said it right. At the beginning of this year. You know how when school start, everything about how you start, you're going to finish. So you begin to study. At the beginning of the school year, you establish study habits. You establish all that. Say, oh my God, same thing when it comes down to our spiritual life. Those of you that want to be baptized, we're going to give you, when we finish teaching this on Sunday, those individuals that want to be baptized and want to apply this in their life, we're going to give them the opportunity because water baptism is required. We saw Sunday that if Jesus was baptized, you know I got to be baptized. So water baptism is important. When we come back on Sunday, we're going to show you every example of the New Testament church, almost every example, where individuals were baptized. In Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 17, he says this, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Water baptism must be ministered in the name of Jesus. Y'all see that verse number 17? And whatsoever ye do in word, if I'm talking, if I'm preaching, if I'm teaching like I'm doing now, I'm doing it in the name of Christ Jesus. That's a word. Baptism, if I'm being baptized, which is a deed, I'm baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Any questions concerning anything I've said or any clarity? We got to be baptized. There's no getting into heaven or applying Christ in your life except water baptism. Amen. Stand to your feet. God, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that the inches of your word give it light and give it understanding to the simple. God, we pray that as we apply this in our lives, that those of us that are baptized, that we'll recognize that baptism in our lives serve as the dying of the flesh and the killing away and the washing away of sin. And so that we may walk as Christ walked in the newness, that we may seek, oh God, those things which are above, and we set our affections on things that are above. those of us that are not baptized, that we will understand that it's through baptism that I apply everything about this walk, everything about Christ in my life. God, we thank you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. We ask that this word, God, that I pray that this word, I pray that this word, God, would not be stolen out of the hearts of the viewers, out of the hearts of the listeners. But this word, God, will take root in our hearts and that we may apply it. Somebody say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.